Aloha, I'm Alex.
I'm Julie.
And we're foodies sharing food while chatting about Boise and whatever else is on our plate this week. All right, Julie, we're finally back on the podcast. Hello, it's good to see you again.
Yes, I haven't seen you for quite a while because I've been traveling.
Yes, welcome back.
And we're going to do a little bit different today because our guest was unable to come because of illness, which we certainly understand.
And as we say in show business, the show must go on.
Right. So I guess we're going to talk about our trips. You've been traveling too, huh?
I have. I just got back from San Francisco for my birthday. It was incredible. Have you ever been, Julie?
Oh, I love San Francisco. Oh. We actually have even spent a Thanksgiving in San Francisco.
Get out of town.
No.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place.
I thought it was, it was definitely not what I expected. The town is so massive. There's so much going on. I only feel like I got a little piece of it that weekend, but I went to this one bakery called Tartine. It's pretty famous. I got their banana cream pudding tart and it was so delicious. It was like creamy and just the right amount of banana. I loved it.
So what did you like best about San Francisco?
The people. I really liked the people. I think I saw the most face tattoos I've ever seen in my life. And it was just a very diverse bunch of people. I feel like when I started the trip, I had this idea in my head on like what a San Franciscan is like. And then when I got to the town, I was very pleasantly surprised with just the diversity. I stayed in a hostel again, which was such an awesome experience. I got to meet people from all over the world, hear different languages. It's called the High Hostel, I believe. It's an international hostel.
But, when I've been to San Francisco, I've stayed in hotels. I've been to San Francisco a whole bunch of times because I've been there with work. When people used to travel for jobs, it was a very centralized meeting place.
Oh.
And so I've had a bunch of jobs that had meetings there. And then I've also been there with friends. And then my family went there for Thanksgiving and we stayed in an Airbnb.
Ooh.
So, we just really enjoy San Francisco.
Yeah, it's a delicious city.
Some of the weirdest experiences that we've had have been in San Francisco, though.
I can believe it.
Well, so as you know, Scott buys and sells shoes and makes money at it.
Yes, he's been doing it for how long now? Years.
Years. When he was in high school, he started, and he's 28 now, so he's.
I need to upgrade my shoes. I should reach out to him.
Well, anyways, one of my weirdest experiences was that Nike was releasing a new shoe while we were in San Francisco.
Ooh.
And you couldn't get it unless your name was drawn out.
Oh, so Scott was on that list, I bet.
Well, we all had to put our names in.
Of course.
And we all had to ask for the same shoe size 11.
For Scott. Did you get the shoe?
Well, the crazy thing was when the time came, our phones all went off. And all three of us got a pair of shoes, my husband and Scott. And
oh, my goodness.
And I did. And then we had to wait in line to pick up our shoes.
Yeah.
And then he sold them right away. He made a lot of money selling the shoes right away because they weren't. And the other people were all waiting in line. See, we had our ticket because we'd been drawn and could race up and get them.
Right.
And no one else could. And at the Nike store, and that was such an experience because here's all these people waiting around the block and everything, and we're running in to get, and how all three of us got a pair of shoes, I have no idea.
The power of putting in a reservation is key.
Well, and also the same size. We all got the same size.
Yeah.
But becomes even odder. So then we go to Starbucks to celebrate, to get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And while we're sitting there, I see a girl get up to get a napkin, and then I see somebody flit by. And they stole her purse.
Oh, no.
And she had nothing to get in her house. No keys, no phone.
Oh, gosh.
You don't
Scary.
Think about
how much you need your.
How, without your, you know, if once your phone, well, the big thing was without your phone in this day and age, you have no contacts.
Right.
And we're sitting there, you know, because we're the ultimate tourists. We go, well, we sort of saw something, but we don't know what we saw.
Right.
I mean, do you see, we really don't, we're not really prepared out of Boise, Idaho for people to just grab something that quickly. It was so quick.
Something that's been interesting, Julie, is the more I've been traveling across the country, the more I'm happy to come home to Boise. So that's how I felt in San Francisco. I love my time and I'll definitely go back and visit there. But I couldn't live in San Francisco. It was much too overwhelming for me. I consider myself a city person, but not that much city.
See, I really like the cable cars in San Francisco. I really like getting on and off of them and walking the city as opposed to, we don't drive when we're in San Francisco.
Oh my gosh, we drove and it was a nightmare. My mom was like, oh, it'll be fine. We have handicap. No, there was no handicap spots to be found. It was horrible. And I told my mom, I think taking public transit is a lot easier in San Francisco.
Well, it's set up to take public transit. I mean, as opposed to Boise, which really isn't set up to.
Right. Yeah.
But so I just came back from Egypt, back to the story of the stealing. Here's the opposite. When we're out of the country, we keep everything. I mean, do you see, we are not the least bit. We have nothing exposed. Everything's in pockets.
Okay. Well, you guys are quite traveled, so it must be smart.
Yeah, and the passports are hidden. And so the
You'll
thought
have to tell that, me about that because I'm traveling internationally soon.
But the thought that we would be so, you know, loose in San Francisco is sort of a testament to, well, this was before COVID.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a testament to how... we just take things for granted in this country. We can't always do that.
Looking for a creative community? Try out Fort Builder Coworking Spaces. Amber can give you a tour and first time's free. I've loved the ability to network and working with people that align with my values. Fort Builder Coworking, the sponsor of Table Rock Podcast. So let's hear more about Egypt, Julie. Tell me all about it.
Well, I've always wanted to go. I went to a World's Fair in New Orleans when I was in my 20s. This was also for work. I was down in New Orleans. And then the World's Fair just happened to be there. And I saw the Egyptian display. And I also saw the Australian display. And see, both of those were on my bucket list based on that trip.
And you've been to Australia.
I have been to Australia. And so I wanted to go to Egypt while I was still pretty mobile because I am getting less mobile.
Yeah.
And so my son went with me because my husband doesn't like to travel.
He's your travel buddy. He's gone quite a bit of places with you.
He has, and because my husband doesn't like to travel. And what he doesn't like is the long airplane rides.
Ooh.
And see, you have to be willing. And then I met a girl who had been to 100 countries in a year and a half. And she says, oh, I just really like to lay down in the seat and watch the TV. And I thought, well, somebody has money because that's first class, you know, that's.
Yeah.
Or she's traveled so much, she's able to upgrade now with points.
Yeah.
But she'd taken off a whole year and was traveling. I met her in Egypt.
Oh, wow.
And then she was going to go back to a job with an oil company in Texas. And she was about your age. But anyways.
Oh, cool.
Egypt is just a fascinating country. It's
the history was marvelous.
Yes, it has a wonderful history, and it's, you land and you're just driving in from the airport, and the pyramids just pop out of nowhere. They're just there.
I mean, there's no place like it on Earth for sure.
Well, the pyramids used to be they were all alone, isolated. You know, when the pharaohs built them. But Cairo is built up all now around the pyramids. So they're right there in the center of everything.
Of course, I have to ask, Julie, how was the food?
Well, we really enjoyed the food. We had...
What is Egyptian food?
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm thinking maybe like falafel or...
Well, we definitely had falafels.
Okay.
They were very good.
Nice.
And... we had a lot of chicken.
Oh.
But here's where chicken is.
I like chicken.
But here's where chicken is really different when you're riding around looking. I mean, first
for
driving
food.
In
mm-hmm.
Egypt is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Oh, gosh.
So we had a private driver and a private guide, and that sounds exotic, but actually.
It's needed.
It was because of COVID.
Oh,
know that. They didn't have the COVID rates we did, but they also don't have the vaccine. So we just had made a decision that we weren't going to ride on buses with people because it's very inexpensive and people need jobs there. I mean,
right. So
our money is worth so much more than their money. I mean, it's unbelievable I would say to Scott, what did we just spend? He put down a $500 bill, and he went, that was a dollar, Mom. I mean, you know, it just,
yeah.
Our dollar is worth so much money in some of these countries that you can really travel for. The cost is getting there.
Right. That's the huge.
That's the huge cost. Mm-hmm. The cost is not the people that you are tipping. And then, like, we would go into a 5-star hotel, and we had 2 roller bags and 2 backpacks.
Oh, my gosh.
And we would have 3 people following behind us that we had to tip.
Uh-huh.
And it was annoying to Scott because he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And he can carry both roller bags and both backpacks all by himself.
Yeah.
But we have all this help following behind us. So we have to let them do something.
Yeah.
And tip them.
Hmm.
And so we did because they need the money. And
you've taught me, you know, putting your money where your mouth is, supporting local communities is huge.
Yeah. And we, of course, we left tips in the, on the boat. We left tips for the people to, and all the jobs go to men.
Interesting.
Yeah. Everybody on the boat was
A man.
Was a man. Even the people cleaning rooms and everything, they were all men.
Yeah.
But the guys on the boat, every night they would leave a different towel display. And I want to find them, like, they left a crocodile. No, here. They left a hanging monkey one night.
Oh, my. I remember you had
Here's
the person laying in bed, too.
Here's the crocodile.
Oh, I love the crocodile. That's my favorite.
Yeah, we had a person laying in bed. That actually made me back out of the room. I thought we'd walked into the wrong room.
Scott was so scared. He posted about it.
Yeah, it's all towels. They use towels and make these displays on your bed. But see, we leave a tip of a dollar, and that's a lot of money for them.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's not, but it's a lot of money. And so then they appreciate us for that because we tended to be big tippers.
Yeah.
And
do you have any kind of diction you use when you're trying to tip well, Julie? I always try to at least give 20% is always my goal.
I let Scott handle all of the money because...
Nice. Well, he's a money guy.
He's a money guy. He can do it in his head. And he has to do the exchange rates. And we had to, and when he would get money out of the...
account.
Out of the ATM.
Yeah.
It was huge bills. I mean, you know, stacks of bills that you're carrying around. And I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
But anyways...
Scott was your money man.
So we saw the pyramids and we went on ATVs and we did everything touristy. We went to the night show.
Oh.
We went on the Nile on the riverboat. And of course, when you ask about the food on the riverboat was fabulous.
Mm.
Just fabulous. But it's not the local food.
Oh, okay.
Because you're on this fancy cruise.
Totally.
And they have like Italian night and they have,
okay.
They did have a barbecue night, but I want to tell you again about the chickens. I forgot them.
Oh yeah. Please.
We're
tell
out
me.
Riding around and I see these chickens in little tiny boxes, you know, little crates. And I go, what is that? And the guy goes, well, you go in and you pick out your chicken and then they kill it for you and they put it in a spinner and its feathers come off.
Oh,
And
you watched the whole thing. How traumatic.
Well, I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay.
but I was thinking, and he could tell by my face, you know, that I think it's traumatic. And he goes, well, it's the freshest chicken you can get. And he goes, you do that with your chickens. You just don't see it. And I thought, well, he's right. So,
yeah.
Really fresh chicken.
We're very, as Americans, desensitized to the process of cooking and getting
and
our food. Yeah.
Getting our food.
Yeah, I think it's important to have that connection a little bit.
Mm-hmm, because I have been around cow slaughter places and I don't like the smell.
Oh, yeah.
And yet I do imagine. Eat red meat, you know. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, that we went out on their sailing boats, which are called felucas.
Felucas. Wow.
They're a lovely experience.
Hmm.
The Nile is such an important part of Egypt because it's and they mummified the crocodiles, you know, because
I saw that you post that.
they were part of the gods.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and
would you do that to Shawnee? Would she be like your little mummy dog?
I wouldn't mummify
I don't think
anything.
I would do that to Spam.
I
don't think I'd be interested.
Mummify anything. I mean, it's a belief system that, you know, it makes your body goes into the afterlife.
Right.
And everyone is welcome to their own beliefs, as far as I'm concerned.
Totally.
See, that's not my belief.
Not my belief either. I totally don't associate, like...
I believe in spiritual transference, that spirits are around us, but not like ghosts.
I grew up Catholic, and Catholics are really against cremation. And I totally don't think it matters what happens to your body when you die. I think it's all kosher.
Oh.
Once you die...
I didn't
off
know
to God,
Catholics
you go.
Were against cremation. I'm big into cremation. I think that's a good way to handle, because otherwise you've got all these bodies. What are you going to do with them?
Well, what they believe is basically, if I remember correctly, if you're cremated, they believe that when like the coming comes, your body will like come back to form. And so if you're cremated, your body like wouldn't come back together. And so that's why that belief was there. But I don't believe that necessarily. I think it's a natural process as being born.
The boat had entertainment, so this is like a whirling dervish.
Ooh, wow. Fabulous dancer swirling with all colors. Ooh, and neon lights as well.
And then he lit up.
Ooh,
yeah.
And that's a man.
It's a man dancer.
Oh, wow.
See, a lot of...
You would think it's a woman.
Well, the belly dancer was a woman. But
oh, okay.
The man,
ooh, you saw a belly dancer.
Mm. Well, on the same night, they had this dancing entertainment. But it was hot there.
I can imagine.
It's been hard to adjust to being back because Boise's really cold for this time of year. Usually we're not quite this cold.
Choosing the temperature that you're going to a place, I think, is so important. That's actually one of the reasons I picked San Francisco, was because it was a direct flight and the weather, I heard, was perfect. Like, fall is a perfect time to visit them.
Right.
But weather can totally impact how much you enjoy a space.
Well, we were just in Seattle, as you know, seeing my son.
And
Mocha is his dog. But we were there to help paint his house. But the fall colors, and Seattle was actually clear, not rainy.
Oh.
So it was absolutely gorgeous.
I bet.
Yeah,
oh my
Mount
gosh.
Rainier was beautiful.
Oh, lovely.
And the trees were red, and the Northwest is so full of trees. The Pacific Northwest is just, I mean, it's such a change from Egypt. It was really amazing.
Nice. It's cool how you can appreciate both now, you know, coming back.
Yeah.
So give me the tea, Julie. How's life going? What's going on with you?
Well, I mean, we've just been traveling all over.
Yeah.
So
got back from Egypt, got back from Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Our next trip is to Hawaii.
You know, I'm from there. I love Hawaii so much.
Yeah.
My next trip, I'm going to Nicaragua in March. I'm going with this group. It's called Surf Yoga Beer. So that's my plan to do.
What do they do?
So they surf, they do yoga, and they drink beer.
I see.
And that's my plan for
that probably week. On a beach will take up all your time.
Yes. That's
well,
my plan.
Well, we're going to Hawaii just to get out of the cold. And also our birthdays are in December, both
right.
of our birthdays. Mm-hmm. And so it's our birthday present to ourselves.
Aww.
And we're just going for a week in December.
What island are you guys going to?
You're going to have to help me. Lehi is the airport.
There's Kauai, Maui.
It's Kauai.
The Garden Isle.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
We went to Maui last year for Thanksgiving.
Big Island, correct?
We've been to the Big Island a few times.
I still follow that cafe that you and Scott went to.
Mm-hmm.
The like eco-y one.
You're right.
Yeah, they look delicious.
We've been to the Big Island a number of times. We've been to Maui a couple times. We've been to Honolulu once and didn't really care for it. It was too urban.
Yeah,
but a lot of people like Hawaii, like Honolulu.
Yeah, Oahu is quite diverse. You really have to kind of find the niches. But if you ever go back, let me know, because I have a list on all the fun things to do there. Oahu is quite busy, though, compared to the other cities.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you're going for the traditional beach experience, it's not the best place for it.
No, that was what we were there for, and it really wasn't.
Yeah.
It is a little cheaper, though.
Oh, yeah. It's more direct flights, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though a lot of flights now from Boise to Hawaii to the various islands. It's much easier to get to than it used to be.
Totally. I need to look into that. My brother just moved back there, so I'm hoping to visit soon. Oh, my gosh, Julie. My dating life is horrid. It's just a barren wasteland for the gay people in Idaho, let me tell ya. But I was just talking to you. I just applied for Love is Blind on Netflix. How crazy is that?
Well, I thought it was really crazy because I've watched it and it's only heterosexual couples.
You know, that's one of the reasons I applied, because I feel like dating shows should do the due diligence to show the spectrum of love that exists, you know, for different people.
Well, I actually disagree with you on that. I said disagree. I meant agree.
You agree. Yeah.
I when you told me at first, I just looked at you. I mean, because I'm going, I've watched this show and it is, it is very
traditional.
Traditional.
Yeah.
It's not stated in that they do show romantic relationships.
Yeah.
But throughout the course of the whole relationship. But in terms of any kind of non-traditional heterosexual relationship, they haven't shown anything.
No.
Like that.
So maybe I'll be the first one. Who knows? But I am curious at just
the concept.
Well,
they'd have to find somebody else. I mean, for it to work, you have to
have... have to have another gay man.
Well, they'd have to have more than one.
One,
because
right.
What if you didn't care for them?
Yeah. I'm also curious at the process. I applied, but I don't know how I feel about dating people without being able to visually see them. I think it would. I just did a dating app recently. It's called Jigsaw when I was in Austin, Texas. And it's like this app where it covers your face. And the more you talk to someone, the more the little puzzle pieces move so you can see their face. I find it fascinating. I do like the idea of loving someone for their integrity or their personality versus their looks. So that really interests me.
I do think it's conceptually, though, that it's pretty hard to not. I think my husband is still very attractive.
Oh,
I mean, he's 75 and he's kept himself in shape.
I mean, he exercises quite a bit.
Yeah, he's kept himself in good shape. Mm-hmm. I just think he's an attractive man for his age.
Yeah.
And I do think if you it's important that you feel they don't have to be attractive by the standards like Barbie and Ken.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think that's important at all.
Totally.
I think it's important that you find them attractive.
Yeah, I think it's also a mind shift for sure.
It can be, they can be heavy, they can be short, they can be tall, they can be handicapped, but it's important that you're able to find them attractive.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly the concept of Love is Blind. I guess the idea is that you just are drawn to just people who are just so wildly attractive that you don't think about their personality at all.
Or you mean their looks.
And I've never, I meant that they're so wildly attractive. Oh, you're so gorgeous.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your personality is like. The
totally.
Fact that you are an alcoholic doesn't bother me because you are so gorgeous, you know?
Right.
But see, on that show, Love is Blind, they're all good looking.
I noticed that.
I haven't seen anybody who was, you know, nobody says I'm really overweight.
Right. You know, I did find it interesting you had to put in like body image photos. Like
yeah,
you had to
see,
show your face, your body, different things like that.
Because they're picking people that are pretty on the pretty normal
spectrum. Yeah.
And
I hope I'm normal. I'm somewhere,
you're a very attractive man. I think the question, they can't just have one person for you to talk to. That's...
Right. That wouldn't work out. That would be an awkward situation. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would also be like a classic gay thing for them to do, though. Like, imagine that if there was only two gay men. What would happen if they don't like each other? You're just trapped. That would be horrid.
Well, but I don't know. I mean, do you see the pods move around? As they talk to each other.
Yes.
I mean, I've watched it enough that they'd have to have an entire gay
season. Yeah.
And it would have to be gay men and then they'd have to do gay women. I mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't do those things. They
totally.
Should. It's just that otherwise the model they have doesn't work.
Yeah. Recently I had a aha moment. I'm also, I think I could be attracted to a trans person, too. I don't think it necessarily has to be a person that was born a man. I'm just attracted to men. But if someone identified as that, I don't know. I'm all open over here. Open book. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think you'd be attracted to a woman?
No, I'm definitely on the gay spectrum.
Yeah, so you couldn't be on this where you go down the hallway interviewing people.
No, yeah.
The way that show works, you go down the hallway interviewing people. Yeah. I've watched
that. Might work for a bisexual person, though. You know, they could just talk to anybody, mm-hmm. males and females.
And there might be some on the show and we don't know it.
That's true. That's very true. I've never thought about that. Yeah, mm-hmm. it could be potential. Yeah. But I still think it's totally a lack in the industry having those perspectives and showing the full spectrum of love.
Well, it will. I think you'll get a no, but I think it'll force mm-hmm. them to think about it.
Yeah.
Just like we're talking about it here.
Totally.
Because, see, they'd have to redo the whole design of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, and not in terms of how they did the pods, but in terms of who they invited.
Right. Right.
And they've clearly somehow gotten rid of everybody else. I don't know how.
Julie, have you heard about my book club that I started with Anna?
No.
So I started a book club. You should join when you get a chance, when you're back in town. It's called Need to Know. Need, like NKNEAD. Need. Mm-hmm. Like needing bread. Mm-hmm. It's a joke because Anna, you know, runs a bakery. But we started a book club. It's all based on food. So it's all food books. Right now, the book we're looking at is Notes from a Young Black Chef by Kwame Enaduchi, I want to say his name is. Incredible book. It's been really awesome just to connect with my community and see some of our listeners even come to book club. So that's been really special.
I'm surprised that there's enough books out there about food. I know there's enough recipe books.
Yeah.
But books about people writing about their experiences with food.
Food writing is exploding, Julie. I actually went to Barnes & Noble and I think I spent like $200 on food writing books. But I got a book from a chef from Top Chef. Her name is Fatima. She died of cancer a few years ago. But I got her book. I got the book from the Alinea chef, Chef Hugh Atch. No, Grant. I can't remember his name. Amazing chef, though, like one of the best chefs in America. But that book's been super interesting. There's actually a lot of food writing going out more and more.
Well, I really like reading, but I tend to read like John Gershon or James Patterson. I'm a traditional crime reader.
Totally. I know you read The Times, too.
Yeah, I read The New York Times and I read it regularly and I read The Washington Post. So I'm a big newspaper reader, too.
Yeah, I've known that about you.
And so I tend to keep up on things by reading about them. But,
you know, I stay pretty up to date on like social media. Like I get a lot of stuff on Twitter and Facebook and that's kind of my, oh, Julie, oh God, my heart.
I was going to say, how can you mention Twitter to me without offending me?
Oh, see, well, Julie, I was going to mention what happened at U of I recently. Did you see that?
Oh, well, that was awful.
It was devastating. Yeah. So there were 3 students who were stabbed.
I thought there were 4.
Or 4. Yeah, 4 students off campus. They haven't found the perpetrator or the weapon. And they're still figuring it out. But I just think it's so sad that students have to be afraid of going to school.
Well, and I think we don't know. I just saw where they asked us not to speculate about it at all because families are
grieving.
Well, and the families are getting upset because some people are saying it's because of drugs and it's because of this. I mean, do you see they're
making a lot. They're
people, you know how rumors are.
Spreading heresy, yeah.
So at this point, what I'd like to just say is that I was horrified.
Yeah.
And I am very, very sad for the families.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think we should speculate.
No, not at all. But I do want to say that I think the University of Idaho community is really strong. And I've definitely seen so many people posting on social media and just totally shaken by the incident. And I definitely think it's going to be the community that helps move on from the situation. Ugh.
Well, I think how easily people move on will depend what they find out about
What happened. Yeah.
They think people are safe.
I mean,
they were sheltering in place, but now they're letting people move around. So, but it's a horrible incident. And Moscow is such a small town. You just don't expect that kind of thing.
Totally. Also, I don't know if we've mentioned on the podcast, but I got into grad school.
Well, no, we haven't mentioned
fireworks everywhere. Yeah, I'm so excited, Julie. So I'm doing my master's in gastronomy at Boston University online. I just signed up for my first classes. I'm taking a methodology class on like how to understand food literature. And then I'm also taking a class on the African diaspora and how African foods have moved from the continent to different parts of the world.
Oh, well, that sounds really interesting.
Also very poignant with the Teff Company. So I'm hoping to make some gift bags of little Teff for all my co-students.
How many co-students are there?
I don't think it's a big class. I think it's less than 20, I want to say. It's a very small.
But it's all online.
All online, yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Boston University is a very fine school, so it should be a good program.
I am going to hold you to it. If I graduate, I expect you there on my graduation, Julie.
Oh, you're going to walk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I will. I'm guaranteed. If I graduate, for sure, I'm going to do the duty. Well, and it's also so close to my mother's family in Massachusetts, so I'm like, why wouldn't I go do that? But yeah, if I graduate, I am for sure walking. Okay. It's looking like it'll take me about 2 years to finish the program, so.
Yeah, I guess we could commit to going out to Boston to watch you walk.
I'd absolutely love that.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. I think it's great that you're pursuing that because, of course, you love food and it's part of your
life.
I mean, as your passion, mm-hmm. building your career around it, I think it's good to get additional.
Yeah, I'm excited to really do some deep diving and learn about like foraging and just all the different food knowledges that are available. I really want to be more of a resource for our community.
Right. Well, as you know, I have a doctorate in public administration and I have a master's in sociology. I have found that my education has always helped me in my career.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Always. Mm-hmm. It's helped me as a person, too. I've met wonderful people.
Oh, gosh.
See, my doctorate's from USC.
Right.
And
USC. Okay.
In California, the people in my classes were from, they had major jobs in California.
Oh, wow.
And so it was really quite
a change. In public health?
Well, no, one was the head of education, was the elected head of education.
Wow.
Because it was public administration in general.
Yeah. I'm hoping to meet some of my classmates and kind of, I know it's an online program, but I'm hoping there's some social connectivity so I can have some colleagues throughout graduate school. Actually, one of my friends said maybe I'll find someone in grad school. Who knows? I want to remind everyone that we wouldn't be here without our sponsors, Fort Builder Coworking, the co-working space of Boise. Tune in next time to hear more about what's going on in the food scene. And thanks again for hanging out, Julie.
Yeah.
Y'all, thanks for joining our podcast.
We loved having you. Please subscribe and think about leaving a review. Your comments are always appreciated.
And don't forget to follow us on social media at Boy Food on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. See you next week.
Cheers.